Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mayday, bitches. Ball shot.
You missed your cue.
Broadcast.
We can't hear the music. Is that okay? Is that an issue?
That might be an issue. So if nobody heard the music, then we could start again. And you didn't miss your cue. Hello, everybody. Surprise!
Oh, wow. I didn't click over to the chat. Oh, my goodness. We have so many messages.
We have so many people in the chat.
Oh,
it was very exciting. Hold on. Let me just change the settings on here.
Okay.
We'll do it one more time.
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't we do it this way, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll start again. Do 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 do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Guys, you.
Yes!
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Broadcast! Anyway, hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda. We have a special guest. We've been infiltrated.
Yeah.
Hi, and I'm Shandy.
And you're who?
Jackowee.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 4, episode 37, I think. Episode, yes, number 172. How is it going, everybody? How is week 100 of stay at home?
Yeah. This was a tough week.
Yeah.
Emotionally, yeah, it was very hard emotionally.
I'm sorry. I know. It's everything, you know, it comes in waves.
Yeah.
Comes in waves. I did a lot of self-care this week, so I was feeling a bit better by the end of the week, but you know, every day is a new day. However, Zachary and Daddy are going to watch. What are you guys going to watch?
Muppet movie.
One of the Muppet movies upstairs.
Oh, with popcorn. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Yeah, with popcorn. But Alex wanted to share some exciting news with everybody. No, Zachary. Called you your brother.
No.
What's your news?
Zachary is playing with me too. I pulled it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we put it into a little baggie and going to put it under my pillow at home.
Exactly. And then we hit a geocache, the spot that he lost it on the trail, to commemorate it. And we called it Zachary's first lost tooth geocache. Now I'm embarrassing you. Oh.
That's so cool.
Oh, what a great day.
Yeah. So you see all these people in here? All those people are watching. Those are our friends that usually come here in person, but they can't because of the
Who's
virus.
That person?
Who? That? That's Maggie.
No, the top one.
This one?
No.
Molly Ann?
No.
Cat.
The mystery one.
The Mr. Oh, that's Lori. She doesn't have a picture on.
Why? The mystery one.
She just doesn't have a picture. And JP is here. And Ro. And Matt.
And who's that name with the Zach?
With the Zach? Oh, Maggie wrote, yay, Zach.
Oh.
Yeah. JP said, you have one less tooth you have to brush right now. Well, Zachary's grown-up tooth is growing in right behind it, and it's like a good 40% of the way up, and we were like, how long is it going to take until this tooth falls out? but
dude, I forgot how weird the whole tooth situation is.
It is a little bit weird, but the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny are both going to come to our house tonight.
Oh, man, that's so exciting.
I know, right? So, I don't know. Look, thankfully, they don't have to interact. They can stay 6 feet apart.
Is it Easter night?
Easter is tomorrow, yep. So, tonight's the night before Easter.
So, is the Easter Bunny coming today?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, who's that name?
Oh, Ro. So Zachary is seeing every time somebody says his name in the chat, he's his name and he's like, who's talking to me? So Ro said Zach sans tooth, meaning Zach without his tooth. Desiree says hi and Astrid says hi. Astrid is the girl that says Mayday, bitches, at the beginning of the thing before you. JP says hi. Greg says hi. Everybody says hi to you. Yeah. All right. You want to go upstairs now? All right. Can you say goodbye to everybody?
Bye.
And happy
bye, Easter. Zach.
Happy Easter.
And happy quarantine.
Happy quarantine.
Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the movie.
All right. Anyway, how is it going, everybody? That was the start of our show. Woo!
Oh, I love Matt's comment. Easter Bunny is an essential worker.
Yeah, that's what
Easter Bunny is indeed.
That's what the Prime Minister of, or President Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Yeah, I heard that this morning too. I love that.
Yeah. So, how's it going? I know Amanda said that she's had a little bit of an emotional week. Shandy, how about you? How are you doing?
Dude, like, same. I had a couple of days this week where I just couldn't. And I was actually talking about it with Tasia last night. And I was saying, like, oh, it's like, I've noticed this weird thing. Like, when I go run, even if it's a short distance, I'm tired for, like, the whole next day as if I had run a marathon. Like, it must be because I'm not moving as much. And she's like, well, it also could be, like, depression because not feeling like you have any energy. I was like, damn, the body knows. Yeah.
Yep. Emotional stress is real.
Yeah. So that's been kind of wild. But I mean, still, like, overall, I'm doing fine. I was ready to, like, finish the week and like, just start a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that. So you were ready to move on to another week.
Yeah. But not before, like, having a nice long weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Zach starts classes officially on Monday, so I'm not really looking forward to another week.
Do we start classes, like, virtual classes?
Yeah, it's only 2 hours a day, okay. And I think she just records lessons and puts them up online. And because I asked her, like, you know, what is it? Because I've got to figure out – we have to figure out, like, our meetings to work around if it was, like, certain times, because they were doing, like, story time at noon on Wednesdays. But she said it's, like, whenever you can during the day, so be interesting.
Yeah. No, it's, like, to be a parent right now is really hard. It's, like, you've got to be a teacher. You got to keep up with your job. It's just – it's a lot requiring of you. It's, like, that stress has got to be really real.
Yeah. We'll see. He's – if he was, like, you know – ninth grade stuff maybe, but I'm pretty sure I'm good with the kindergarten teaching. We're doing okay. A lot of flashcards. Like, I don't feel dumb trying to teach him something right now, so that's what I'm trying to get at.
Good.
Anyway, I am sorry though that you guys had, you know, rough weeks. I had a rough week not this past week, but the week before. This past week, I went on several, like, 6-mile walks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And just kind of, like, you know, felt a lot better by the end. Although today my legs hurt so badly that at one point I was like, I'm just going to sit on the couch. And I don't ever really just sit on the couch. Matt said that Eric is in the chat too. Hello. Matt said these days are emotionally exhausting. Rose said the week kicked her butt. She cried. Let's see. Dez said she started to do feedback for the show and then started crying, so she deleted it. JP said refunds for Broadway tickets came in today. It was a punch in the gut. So, yeah.
But a little nice padding for your bank account.
That's true.
Maybe. Yeah, that is true.
Or just put it in a fund and save it for when Broadway is back open and you can just go again.
Exactly. Has anybody have anything positive that they want to talk about? Like,
I did have an interesting thought this week. I don't know if it's positive. It's just something kind of funny that occurred to me. My Facebook time hop this week was littered with pictures from our senior year at college and Milk and Cookies.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
Yeah. And I had this thought of, like, remember back when there wasn't the immediacy of posting what you were doing in the real world to the internet? There was a couple day delay because you couldn't take pictures on your phone. You had to take them with a digital camera and then plug that digital camera into a computer device and then put them on Facebook. So there was like this real process to get something from the picture onto your social media. And it just really struck me that wasn't even that long ago. Yeah. But like, so it's like, oh, this didn't actually happen this day. It probably happened several days before. And I didn't post them until a couple days later because I didn't have a phone that would do that with that kind of immediacy. And it just tickled me.
Well, wasn't Milk and Cookies always right before spring break?
I don't remember. Or Easter weekend. It was around.
It was like the end. So what we're talking about is our theater group that we used to be a part of in college, Amanda and I, every springtime they had an event at a bar. And we called it Milk and Cookies or Liquid Lunch. And essentially you just drank for, you got there at what? We started at like noon and
it was always in the middle of the day.
And it just went on until everybody ended up puking.
Yeah. So it was around like,
let's just
our
say,
spring semester always did a children's theater production where we would do like 2 weeks of some sort of children's play and like local schools would come and see it. Mm-hmm. And this was sort of like a cast bonding activity, but then it was sort of opened up to like general members of the theater club. Like if you weren't doing children's theater, you could still come and be a part of this.
Right. And let's just say I don't drink Long Island iced teas anymore because of my sophomore year liquid lunch.
Yeah. Yep.
That I was learned the year. The that hard the year way that I went Julia
to, I went
up.
To work.
No. That was our junior year, I think.
No, sophomore year.
It was sophomore year? Oh, that's right. It was because I was living with you when you were doing that.
Yep.
Well, that was the year that Julia.
I shouldn't put this on the internet. That's so okay. We should stop that story right now.
It was not great.
It's one of those silly moments you could only, you know, that really just makes your college experience just poor
choices.
Well,
and also, not to mention, we were like 19 or 20 when this was happening. Right. So there's that. Not experienced drinkers.
Yeah, just a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah,
that
my
really
senior year,
really solid friendships.
Yeah, by my senior year, liquid lunch. It was definitely. I remember all of it. So there's that. That's good gauge.
But yeah. No, it was just like I'm really, and it makes me kind of thankful for being alive at the time. In which I was alive. Like, I'm really thankful that like, I was like in high school and college, and I sort of grew up in a time just before
Zennials, baby.
Social media became so like prevalent.
1,000,000%.
That you were living for the experience and then you were just sort of archiving that experience on social media as opposed to like proving that it existed by posting it.
We didn't have Facebook until junior year anyway. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
So at the time of this, we would have put it on like MySpace.
I didn't have MySpace. I did have Facebook. I didn't have MySpace. I was so interested. I was not into it.
It should surprise nobody that I was all into all of it.
Yeah, no, it was a lovely and a very like emotionally straining and dark week. It was just a wonderful thing to think about, and it sort of took me out of my malaise.
Oh,
nice. Very good. Yeah. So I had written down something that I wanted to look up. Have you heard about this poem that this British legal filing from 1310, and it's like the first known usage of the word fuck in like the legal sense.
What? No. So,
they talked about it on What a Day this week. And I was like, oh my God, I need to know about this, but I can't read my own handwriting. So great job, me. So let's see. Let me try this again. British legal 1310. First use of fuck. Let's try that. Historians have found the first use of the word fuck in the English language, and it was used for the sexual connotation. I thought this was so fascinating, though. I was like, people were using fuck to indicate fucking in the 1300s. That's exciting. I'm clearly looking for some news during quarantine. Yes, so it was a court record concerning a man named Roger Fuck by the Navel. And I don't know what that means, but apparently the name was repeated three times. It was a nickname dreamed up by the clerk of court as a joke to mess with the guy. So apparently people were just as immature back then as they are now. So that should make us all feel better that we haven't evolved much.
Great. Awesome. I feel so good.
All right. Moving on. We could talk about the thing that everybody is here to listen to us talk about, which would be Tiger King. Unless, does anybody else have anything?
No. What happened this week? I don't know. I mean, it's like a black hole. I'm trying to think, like, what happened in my life? I had some good... caught up with some people, like had some good catching up sessions. That's all. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That's important though.
So yeah, that's kind of all that happened with me this week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I swear like, there had to have been something. There was a lot of rain one day.
Well, when you're not leaving your house, there's not a whole lot going on.
True. It hailed. I went out for my daily walk and it hailed.
Wow.
I keep saying, I think Mother Nature is trying to evict us.
I would too if I were her.
Yeah. I mean, we have not been good tenants.
The best house guests.
Yeah. No. We are kind of the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we didn't pay rent and had like a giant house party and like the whole world called the cops on us, but we just are still here.
And we refuse to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, yes, rain, hail, all the types of weather.
Yes.
I've been trying to do the 7 o'clock cheer here in New York. It is my favorite thing. My neighbors don't it every day, but every time I hear it, I like try and I open the window and I do a little shout out. And sometimes like it's kind of one of those things, I think, because it's not like terribly noisy in my neighborhood. So I think it just takes one person to do it. And then you hear other people that are like, like they just needed like confirmation that it was okay and it was happening.
Yeah. My sister has sent us videos of them cheering down Fifth Avenue, where the fuck she lives, not Fifth, yeah. I don't know, something.
It's a little louder in Manhattan. Here in Ditmas Park, Brooklyn, it's a little more timid. So I've been really trying to like clap out my window and really get it going. Maybe tomorrow I'll do some pots and pans.
That's awesome. My
neighbors across the way, we're doing pots and pans. Which is why I heard I was making dinner. I was like, "Oh, it's 7 o'clock."
It's like New Year's Eve all over again.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I have to say, the videos that she sent us, like they've given me chills and kind of made me get a little teary.
Aww. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's like I read somewhere. I don't know if it was the New York Times or someone was kind of doing like a retrospective and like showing like you know aggregating from social media like people that are posting about it and like one of the. Quotes they used was from like a emergency worker and they're like, I actually try not to walk home at 7 o'clock because I think if I heard it all, I would just break down and cry.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, you know, it's overwhelming and, but you know, one of the many reasons why I love New York City. It's like, we are people that are just very emotional and we just need to like, yeah. Need to show our love. So I'm glad to be a part of that. I think it's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is really awesome. So you know how we did the Taylor Swift song brackets? We elected our winner, which was you belong with me. You belong with me. And but since then, I've had a lot of Taylor Swift in my head. And, you know, I've got to go into my office twice a week to deposit checks that come in. Right. And it's generally it's just me. I'm the only one that's going in. So the other day I was all packed up. I was just about to leave. I was like, let me go pee. And I admit I didn't shut the door all the way because I was the only one in there. And I am singing I Knew Your Trouble at the top of my lungs as I am peeing in my empty workhouse. And I get back to my desk, pick up my phone to go because everything is like all packed up. And I get a text from my boss. Hey, we're outside. I'm like, oh my God, did you hear me screaming Taylor Swift at the top of my lungs? She said she didn't, but there is no way that she didn't. They didn't hear me.
Yeah,
she needed to come in. And she came in to get her monitor because she's working on board meeting stuff and said that doing it on the laptop was just too much and she needed to just. So I was there an hour earlier than I usually go in because I had to drop Jay off to get his car or whatever. So I was like, ah, I'm not going to go all the way back. And Jay's car has been in the shop for like a month and they called the other day and they were like, we'll leave the keys in the box, but we really need you to come get your car. I was like, fair enough. We should go pick it up. But anyway, so, but yeah, that was my embarrassing moment of the day. Even when I'm social distancing, I still. Hey,
that might be my personal favorite Taylor Swift song.
I Knew Your Trouble. That's what I voted for. Finish in that second. One
and Shake It Off. Those are like, I do maybe like Shake It Off. Are like the only Taylor Swift songs I actually really genuinely know, but I really like them.
I was going to say the one, my favorite is the one that was then made into that goat thing.
Yeah, that's the, I knew you were trouble when you walked in.
My all-time favorite because every time I hear it, I think of the goats. It just makes me laugh so much.
Oh, man. That's how you get out of the week four slump. Go watch that Taylor Swift goat video.
Yeah.
That's now what I'm going to do when I'm feeling sad. I'm going to go find that video. Shandy, you've solved it.
Yes. Oh, and actually, though, that does remind me that I did do something this week. The class that I signed up for started on Monday.
Oh, awesome.
I haven't had like all this extra time, though, that like all of us thought we were going to have.
Oh, yeah, no.
So basically, I just added something to my plate on top of like, you know, but it's fine. It's been interesting so far.
Yeah. So well, good. Yeah. You have to keep us posted.
Indeed.
Yeah. Next week, though, quick PSA to everyone, starting on Monday, the 13th, yeah, we're going to be doing the Office, Best Office Episodes brackets. But the one that we're doing is the one that the official Office's Twitter, like through NBC, put out in honor of their 15th anniversary of the Office, like starting. So that is what we're going to be doing in the Jane Jack Facebook group. We hope that you'll join us. I think it's going to be fun. And after that, we're going to be doing the Beatles songs, which I am super excited about as well. So
I like it.
Got plenty of quarantine projects lined up in there. Maggie has never heard of the Taylor Swift goat video.
Google it, Maggie.
Just Google it, Maggie.
Just go to YouTube. It should be the first hit. Speaking of The Office, though, and YouTube, SGN is my new favorite thing. That like John Krasinski video.
Oh, yes.
That, like, broke the internet. It is my favorite thing.
So John Krasinski, you were talking about the second one, right?
Yes. But then I went back and watched the first one as well, which is also not to be missed.
Yeah, the first one's fun.
Yeah. So poor John Krasinski had a bunch of things coming out that all got, you know, put on hold because of the coronavirus. So instead, he just put on YouTube a like fake news show.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Voted to good news. And he just like aggregated all this stuff from the internet and like sort of packaged it. And he's just like clearly a very funny writer and just really, I mean, he's an actor, so of course he's good off the cuff, but it's really, and like he brings on like just random people that had like a viral video of something positive and he like talks to them and Aww. Does cool things. And this, I guess it was this week's.
Yeah.
There was a second girl, the second one, the second episode, a girl couldn't go see Hamilton because of the coronavirus. And so he did like a Zoom call with her and like, cause she was like, oh, and I was watching I had to watch Mary Poppins Returns instead. And he was like, oh, well here I have Mary Poppins and like
Emily Blunt.
And Emily Blunt. I'm sorry. I'm like, I know her. I love her. Why am I blanking on her name? Like comes out and they do a little thing. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda shows up. And then the whole cast of Hamilton shows up and they like sing to her. And it's just like the best.
It's the thing. Original cast too. And it's the
original
the
cast.
Entire original cast on Zoom. And when she says a whole bunch of people just joined, I was like, oh my God, what's about to happen?
it's pretty great. And I think he's just going to keep doing them like every week.
Oh my God.
So I'm just excited to see how they evolve, and they are so.
I don't know how he's going to top that. I don't know how. I mean, it was so spectacular. We have watched it in our household, like the four of us, like at least 6 or 7 times. We love to watch Jonathan Groff. Have you like watch him in it? Because he is just like jamming out and is hysterical.
So good. I love it.
But it's fun to pick a different actor each time and watch them. Like, you know, when they're like small, I don't know. It's been really fun. We watched it a lot because, you know, Zach really, really likes that song. So,
yep. Boy After My Own Heart.
Yeah.
That's why we're such good friends.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. Tigers. Want to talk about some tigers?
Let's talk about some tigers. So I think one of my favorite things that I read, and I wish that I could remember where, but I read it on Tuesday when I was preparing for the show. Somebody called this like it was the baseline for such insanity that was like the living that I think now I know what Katie Heron meant when she said the limit does not exist. And I was like, that is the best way to describe this show. Is that the limit does not exist? You've never seen Mean Girls? You've seen Mean Girls.
Yeah, but why do I not understand that reference?
That's the thing at the end where she's in the math competition. It's like, the limit does not exist.
Right.
And I'm like,
wow, yes. That is a deep pull, if I can say that.
I know, but I thought it was so great.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Anyway, I think this show is like the living embodiment proof that the limit does not exist because we can start from there. So anyway, you cool cats and kittens. We were cat people before it was cool.
It's true. Everyone's just hipping up to, virtual hangouts. We've been doing it way before.
Yeah. So let's talk about this.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
So yeah. I will say like a little bit of behind the scenes also when – like we had talking about this on Tuesday, and on Tuesday I hadn't finished. And I was like, we can totally talk about it anyway. Like I'll just participate for the first half. I don't mind being spoiled. Like it's all good. Seriously, we're fine. And then we ended up like doing this arrangement. And when I finished it, I was like, holy shit. I am so glad that we didn't do what I said that we could do because wow.
Right?
Wow.
So when we said it gets more insane every episode, and you don't exactly feel good when you're done watching it, but like you're just like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yep.
Like every episode, it just gets more ridiculous. Like, did you see a presidential run coming?
No. We should have all seen. I mean,
but yes, because I remember watching those John Oliver episodes. Because I remember when I first started watching the series, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard of this guy. I must have heard of this story before, like, you know, why he's in prison. No, that's not why I had heard of this guy before. It was because of the presidential run and because John Oliver picked it up.
Oh, my God.
So as soon as they, like, showed that episode, I was like, that's why I know who Joe Exotic is.
So Jay remembered it more. When like they showed the John Oliver stuff, Jay was like, that's right. I remember that. I had not remembered it.
Yeah. as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's why I knew who this guy was. I like couldn't place it, but I knew who he was.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Randy said it's like a Russian doll. Another layer is revealed. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, too. I like that the Ramblecast After Dark guys called their episode Lions and Tigers and Assholes. Oh, my.
Yeah, that's pretty fitting.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, like, the presidential election stuff, I was not tracking that. But honestly, like, if Joe Exotic had more money, then he would have been elected in 2016.
Very well, had a very good shot.
That's kind of exactly what happened.
As some of the other candidates, he was just as qualified.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Well.
So we have, I don't even know where to start. I have so many, I have like pages of notes. I've got stuff that I then have typed up over here. Like,
yeah, we should have come up with a skeleton of how we were going to frame this conversation.
Okay. So it starts. Okay. I think it's worth noting two things that I think maybe demonstrate how crazy the show is that by the time you get to the actual murder for hire plot, it is literally the least craziest thing to happen on the entire show.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the guy that was the literal Scarface, the inspiration for the Scarface character, is the most normal person on the show.
Yes. God, I completely forgot that was a part.
I know.
I think, and maybe that is a good place to start of just like, I think the thing that like has kind of been getting at me is like how to categorize this, that people are sort of like, oh, it's a poorly made documentary. And
it's definitely a reality show.
It's definitely a reality show. Like, it's not a documentary. I think it began with the intention of being a documentary. I think this filmmaker had every intention of making a documentary about Americans' obsession with owning big cats and like what that industry looks like, and making it an expose is why it is so terrible. But then you just look at these people and the stories that become of it. And it's like sitting on a gold mine and deciding not to use it. Like it became a bigger beast, and it just became something.
Right.
Something else. And like, how could you not?
And let's just, I personally think that it came to us at a time where it was like the perfect storm, right? Because you have these people who are, Lions and Tigers and Meth, oh my, would be my alternate title for
Yeah.
You have these people who are absolutely batshit crazy. And just like that graph that I had posted on Facebook, and I think I got it from Dan, there's zero likable protagonists the way that anybody is portrayed. But we're all quarantined at home. We're exhausted. 2017, 2018, 2019, and the first 3 months of 2020 have completely tore us down, right? And we need something. And then this appears, and it's the one thing that can actually make you forget about the fact that the world is literally burning around us, because you can't look. It's like the perfect soap opera, but it's like 15 times. It's real life and crazy.
But it also allows you to laugh a little bit, because everything is so awful and hard. And yes, the story of like what is happening in that community and like what they're doing to these animals is awful and terrible, but like I think we just all couldn't handle it. So there's just so much going on that we just needed something that we could just collectively laugh at and feel a little better about our own lives.
Well, and it's so fascinating though, because like Colleen, you talk about how we've been worn down ever since 2016 in particular, and it's like this Tiger King, I mean, what it really puts on display is essentially a mirror of all of those problems that have been wearing us down. It's like toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
It's like deep-seated misogyny. Mm-hmm. It's the gun culture, which is linked to toxic masculinity, and like how the animal thing goes into that. It's the hierarchy of, you know, again, toxic masculinity and patriarchy, like putting humans above animals. It's like all of that stuff. So it's all of
wealth inequality.
Oh my God. Like it's everything. Addiction. Like it's all of the problems that have been really mm-hmm. put under a microscope in these past couple of years. And it's like this weird reflection of that. But because it's so like amped up.
Yeah.
It's almost like you said, like we can look at it and laugh in a way, or be sort of like entertained, or be, you know, kind of like feel better about our own lives. But like in a way, that is our own lives.
That's our society. It's just it's very Inception.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, who knew that the big game cat world was so full of like cults? Sex cults.
It makes total sense. Yeah, I had no idea, but it makes total sense.
It does make total sense.
It does, because it's grabbing at these things that feel so like elite and luxurious and like exotic. Like, you know, I sort of hate to use that word, you know, given.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, exotic hasn't been ruined yet. The word Trump has been ruined, but exotic hasn't been ruined yet. It's a cooler looking word and sounding. JP says it makes Jersey Shore sound look like a docudrama.
Yeah, the first horseman of the apocalypse.
it really was the first horseman.
So then do you think Tiger King is the third horseman of the apocalypse? Or?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I guess who would be number two then, if that's three?
The Kardashians. No, the Kardashians would have to be first.
Did they come first?
I don't know.
Were they before Jersey Shore? In any case. No, that's fair. I would give those three.
And I think that all the Real Housewives shows might be up there as well.
But I think the Kardashians came first. I don't think there'd be a Housewives if there wasn't a Kardashians. True. I could be completely wrong with that, though. Don't quote me on that.
True. But you're right. It's just, it's crazy. It was all crazy. Like from, what about the random scene with that guy James riding the jet ski to the final countdown or whatever? Like that was just, and the manager that has the skeleton in the seat next to him, in the car next to him in like the last episode. There's
I forgot about that.
I don't remember. Oh, there's so much.
I've been looking at a lot of the memes, like the best memes from it. And I'll send you some of the links, but like one of them was like, this show is so insane, but by the time it got to this scene, and it's the guy with the skeleton in the car next to him, I just shrugged it off like it was normal, and the filmmakers felt no obligation to explain it. And we were just all like, all right.
Okay. It's not the weirdest thing we've seen.
No. I think the thing that appalled me the most, and there was a lot of things that appalled me the most, but it was at the funeral when after, you know, Travis died and he gives the eulogy and he's clearly methed out of his mind, right? Like, and he sings his song and he says that he talked about how Travis once said he felt God was put him on earth to make him smile. And it didn't matter how stupid he had to get, or if I was sitting there concentrating as hard as I could on the computer to write a letter to a senator or a congressman or something else, he'd come and rub them balls in my face. Everyone that works here knows exactly what I'm talking about because you've seen his balls. They were like golden nuggets to that boy. That was the point where I was like, okay, you are a horrible human being and... what the fuck is this show? And that to me was like the tipping point of outrageous. And then when he gets remarried, like 3 months later, he invites the mom. Yeah.
Well, that's like the through line in all of these cults is that it's always this like more powerful older man. Powerful either because of money or because of like the allure of owning these animals that they shouldn't be owning, or a lot of times both, preying on like teenagers who you know don't know any better and aren't old enough to be like making good choices, and even like to get into the Carol Baskin of it all, like that's how she got into the world that she got into in the first place anyway.
Like 19 or whatever, and she was walking down the street and he picked her up with a gun in the car and took her to a hotel room, which also sounds to me like she maybe was also a prostitute, or else he was just also fucking crazy, which we know he was. And
he was extra
crazy. I listened to a podcast about Tiger King, and they talked a lot about more about like her sort of story and like looked a little bit more into what was going on there. And like, she by no means is blameless. Like, by no means whatsoever.
She's a narcissist who's also out of her fucking mind as well.
Right. Yes, 100%. I mean, when they started off the series by saying, like, people who are into big game animals, like, are all, like, different variations of, like, weird and crazy. Like, that holds true. And, like, that's certainly true for her as well. But, like, her entry into that whole world was kind of, like, super fucked up. And, like, just the fact that she had to leave her family when she was 15 because she was raped and her parents... because of their religion, basically thought that that was her fault. And then to end up, she like was on the streets, like sleeping under cars. And her boss at the time was like, well, you can come live with me so that you won't have to be on the street. And like ended up marrying her when she was a teenager and he was super abusive. And then, which led to like this fight of her like leaving. And that's when this other dude picks her up. So yeah, she's a teenager and he's in his 40s and like pulls a gun on her.
Right. And Joe also has a similar kind of tragic backstory in that he knew he was gay as a teenager and told his parents, and his dad made him promise in front of his mom that he wouldn't come to his funeral.
Yeah. No, and I couldn't help but wondering, like, I mean, Joe's got a lot of problems. I really have to wonder, though, like to what extent would he be a different person if he had had... supportive parents who loved him for who he was.
Yeah.
Oh, legit. Absolutely.
Not excusing anything because.
Well, like, right.
But the, you know, the trauma of having a childhood like that, it does affect who you are as a grown adult.
Right.
Of course.
As evidenced in Carol and in Joe. Yeah. But we can all agree that Doc Antle is a piece of shit. Right.
Oh, he's giant terrible.
He might be the worst
person. If the
person.
Murder for Hire thing didn't happen, he would have been the star of this piece.
Yeah, he is like the biggest piece of shit out there.
Yeah, he really got away well because there was an attempted murder. Yeah.
I think it's really tied between him and Jeff Lowe for the biggest pieces of shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jeff Lowe.
He's terrible.
When he told his wife to get back to the gym as soon as she had her baby and then he was going to get a hot nanny. It was
just like disgusting.
Yeah.
A little pussy gets you a lot of pussy.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Ugh.
So Maggie was asking which podcast.
Yes.
And it was an episode of Crime Junkie podcast, which was... recommended to me by my friend Hillary. It's an extra episode that they did. It's you have to be a patron to access that. So I definitely paid the $5 to become a patron. I'm not really planning on like sustaining my patronship, but I feel like, you know, $5 to listen to one episode, like that's good for them. So it was interesting. I would definitely recommend it. And then Matt was saying that Saf's the one redeemable person and that Maggie said that she saw something about Saf was misgendered throughout the whole show. And that is true.
Yes.
Saf,
so
uses male pronouns.
Yes. And he is portrayed as Kelsey, a she, on the show, which is incorrect, obviously.
Oh, I didn't remember seeing the name Kelsey, but wow.
I didn't remember seeing the name Kelsey either. Maybe because it was the lower third, because I know they would always like refer to her. To him as Saf.
No, it was on the screen. It was Kelsey Saffrey or whatever her full name is.
Wow.
Right.
But let's talk about Saf because he got his arm ripped off and
breaks my heart.
And that was episode two. And you were like, what else is going to happen in this show? Because this is two. And by the time we get to episode seven, so many things are happening. You're like, oh yeah, dude got his arm ripped off in the beginning.
Like, right. But I think that's also like a good indication as to.
Cult.
Sorry.
No, that's it. Sorry. I was just going to say cult a whole bunch of times.
But I think it is also interesting of the type of story by the time they did those interviews, like this is the type of story we're going to tell because that stump was very prominent in the frame of that interview. So as soon as your very first shot of Saf speaking to camera, we're going to find out where that person's arm went.
Yep.
And that was the first thought I had in my head as soon as I saw that shot. It's like, we're going to find out what happened to that person's arm. And I bet you it's tiger related.
I like very oddly. I didn't even notice it at the beginning in the first
one. I didn't notice it in the first one either. No,
it was the very first thing I noticed. Yeah. Just like it was like propped up. And so very clearly.
They were putting it on display. Yeah.
They were putting it on display. And I'm like, okay, we're going to find out what that is about. Clearly, yeah, that is related to the story in some way. And I think that is a good indication of the fact that like it's not journalism, like it's entertainment. Like a journalist wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Wouldn't have set up a shop that way.
Yes. And I think that also like power to Saf for choosing. I think he was given what, a year and a half of rehab or just lose the arm. And I believe he said that he does wear a prosthetic, but they asked him to take it off for the interviews.
Right. Right. Well, and I suppose that speaks a lot to how strong he is as a person. Just be like, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. You want to? Yeah, I can take my prosthetic off if that's.
Yeah.
I just like.
I think there's a fine line there between exploitation and not, but.
Right. It felt a little exploitative to me.
And I think we would have to, if it doesn't bother Saf, then I think that's fine. Because if he's okay with it and he was asked, would you take this off, and said, sure. But if like, I don't know the situation, the circumstances, like if they said you have to take it off, or this would be good, you know, if the, you know, however it was presented to him. And so I don't want to speculate on that, because I haven't seen anywhere him saying that he didn't appreciate like that or anything. I know John, the husband, was very upset that they didn't show his new teeth.
Yeah, I Googled it.
That's yeah. Fair.
Yeah. He said the teeth hurt more than the cover-up tattoo.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a big tattoo. All of the tattoos that said property of Joe Exotic.
Yeah. I guess they also didn't show the finished tattoo of that either, which I read when I was reading about what he had said about his teeth. Which, because when I was watching the series, like when that tattoo was quote unquote finished, like they presented it as if it were finished. And I was like, how is that the finished product? There's still like lines coming out, like still, but apparently that wasn't the finished product. So
that
makes me feel a lot better about his tattoo. And also like, again, like why would they show it like that? But yeah.
Yeah. I suppose just for the sake of story and schedule that, like, I guess that was,
you can't say like, you can't put in like one line about how like, oh, this is almost done. Like,
you know, there was so much though that, you know, just kind of were like, all right, that's the tattoo.
No, like, you know what? Netflix only paid us for 6 episodes. We got to wrap this up.
Although I heard there's a rumor that an 8th episode is coming out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yes.
Oh, tomorrow. It's real. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the 12th. What? Or today, as you guys are hearing this.
Yeah. It's it's like an after discussion episode. Joe McHale is hosting it. And it's, I think it's like they're interviewing. Not like, you know, it's not like
they did interview
Carol Baskin and like Doc Ansel, but it's like, I think Saf is one of the people they're going to talk to.
I think
to
Jeff Lowe was interviewed too.
Probably. Yeah. Like sort of the sort of second tier cast members they're going to talk about like what they're doing now and what has life been like since the series came out. And,
interesting.
Yeah. You know, strike while that iron's hot.
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of, because I wanted to bring this up when we were talking about Saf's arm, John with the double below-the-knee amputee, he also didn't need to be an amputee, but he kept walking on them until he had to get them cut off. Like, that is...
Right.
That to me, I was like, wow, that was a choice.
That was a choice.
Yeah, I didn't fully follow that because it's like he...
So he was hurt in a zipline accident.
Yes, which was terrifying. I was like, oh my God, I've been ziplining. Like, that makes me. And when I went ziplining, I was like, oh, it's totally safe. They, like, of course, like, everything's taken care of. Now I'm kind of don't know that I would go back.
No. I was never going to zipline ever again before. Now I'm definitely not.
Well, he was paralyzed. He taught himself to walk, but he was walking around on bone for 20 miles a day, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, working at the park. And that's how he ended up losing his legs. So, like, that, the GW Zoo or whatever it was called, like, a lot of casualties.
Well, I mean, and that's also like a through line between all of these people, no matter how much money they do or don't have. Like, even Carol Baskin, who inherited millions of dollars and by her own admission on the docuseries makes thousands of dollars from like Facebook videos, like on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
None of them pay their people correctly.
No, Carol doesn't pay them at all. They're all volunteers.
Whole big elaborate volunteer. Yeah. Like, it just felt like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I found that her comment of like, why would I pay people to do something that they would do for free, just to be so messed up, because just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And just because people would work for free doesn't mean that you should be taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
And it's even worse if you have the money to actually pay them like a living wage and give them benefits and have them be actual employees. Like,
yeah,
all just exploiting people. It's insanity.
Yeah. But it also just doesn't help the animals. Like, if that is your end goal, to be a sanctuary for these animals, like, shouldn't you want to pay staff that are trained?
Yeah,
and have some sort of degree.
Yeah.
some sort of scientific degree in how to care for these creatures. Like, you owe it to those animals.
Yeah,
I think that goes back to JP had posted a question earlier of all three zoos, which I think zoo here is being used very liberally. Like, I know that's what they called it in the docuseries too, but I was like, no, those are just a bunch of
yeah, that doesn't sound right. I don't like that.
Cages. It kind of looks like, you know, an ice compound at the border. Like, it's just a bunch of things in cages. But which one had? Which did you feel had an adequately trained staff for the tiger encounters? And to that point, I would say none of them.
Yeah, although we do know now there's pictures that Carol Baskin was sitting next to Britney Spears at the 2000 VMAs or 2001 VMAs. And Doc Antle was the one that had, it was his tiger on stage with her in the I'm a Slave for You famous performance.
Yeah, which I think really calls into question, like, any time.
I know, right? Anytime
an animal has been used for any like film, any sort of entertainment, I think we really need to like stop and question like what is actually going on. Because I have very mixed feelings about zoos. I'm not a huge fan. Even like the aquarium, I kind of, I know they do like research and conservation, but also like keep animals out of their habitat. I don't know. It's very complex. But especially for like using animals for entertainment, I feel like that is definitely this line that is easier to see and to be like, that's not okay. But like, even beforehand, like I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that if I saw like a music video with like a tiger in it. Like, I wouldn't necessarily have thought of like, where did that tiger come from? Why is there a trained tiger? Like, what's going on there for our entertainment? Like, that's fucked up, which then feeds into people wanting to pet the cubs. Cause yeah, like the cubs are cute, but like, you shouldn't be posing in pictures with them because like, we should not be interacting. We do not cohabitate.
Right. Right. Yeah. That was something that kind of struck me too. It's like something that I never really thought about that. Like, yeah, the amount of content that we watch, you know, it's like, I just watched The Hangover again, like a couple weeks ago. And I was like, man, this movie holds up. This is great. But yeah, there is a tiger that is in a lot of the movie, and it's, yes, you can tell a lot of it is an animatronic tiger, but there are scenes where that is definitely a real live tiger. And it's like, well, how do we feel about that? You know? And it's like, do I feel good about supporting that kind of thing? And that maybe moving forward, I will be more critical about the art and the films and the television that I watch that feature wildlife.
That
just doesn't feel right.
I know it does. I completely agree. Greg said that we haven't mentioned Joe's music yet. Shandy, I think that you probably are more experienced with the music than I am.
Which, like, isn't his music, but
he didn't even sing it.
But that's so par for the course and, like, so perfect of just, like, a sort of sort of like framework for this whole thing. Like everything is fake. Everything is facade. Even his music, like, yeah, he's lip syncing. At first, I thought maybe like he actually sang it and then just had to lip sync it for the videos. Like, no, he neither wrote it nor sang it. Like, and yet, I mean, yes, to your point, Greg, it's kind of like oddly good, but it's also because it's, like, it's not him. And yeah, I just think that that's such a good sort of like mirror for the whole, that whole world. Like it's all fucked up and it's just all fake and it's all a facade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of the music, that Carole Baskin video was awful, but what about him reading her diary live on the show?
Yeah.
That was another like, what the fuck moment.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things where it's like, it did feel like there were other people involved in the whole Murder for Hire plot. And right. I could totally buy that mm-hmm. he was potentially set up. However, he did cyber bully her for years and call for death threats for years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And invade her privacy for years. And that's also not okay.
No, mm-hmm. no,
no, no, not at all.
But yeah, no, that was one of the WTF moments. A more lighter WTF moment. What about the wedding pictures? So Carol and Howard have the wedding picture of her. She's in her leopard print outfit, the wedding gown, and he's dressed as like a tiger and he's got the leash around his neck. That's going to be a meme for the rest of our lives, isn't it?
Unsettling, in a word.
And then the one, weird. The super 80s or early 90s wedding picture with Joe and John and Travis, where they're laying there, like, you know.
Yeah.
All of it, man. All of it. But yeah, that Carol, like, where did she find him?
Howard?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got a touch for picking weirdos and all people. But you know what? He was the nicest out of all of her husbands, I guess. So
definitely. For sure.
He did put her up on a pedestal, I suppose.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
And I mean, for her credit, like, he is age appropriate for her. So that's, you know, saying more than what we can say about everyone else.
Yeah. Hey, how crazy do you think the show would have been if we didn't have the alligator arson and lost footage?
Well, okay. And here is something I have thought about a lot.
Okay.
So we talk about the arson and we talk about how all the footage was lost, but I feel like
it wasn't all lost.
Right. I feel like there was lots of stuff we saw that was probably shot for that.
It was. Series. Rick's been giving interviews. Jay watched him with David Spade. And he did. The majority of his stuff was not backed up and it was burnt down, but he had a decent amount of footage that was what he sold to the filmmakers to, you know, have their footage to do the documentary, so to speak. So, yeah, a lot of that was from what he had, but I guess he had so much more that just got burnt down.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's sort of sloppy storytelling, because then they, like, are trying to paint it like nothing.
Right.
And it's sort of like, well, no, like, you're using stuff that obviously you didn't shoot. Like, it was from this time.
And that, so, like, truly makes me wonder, what did burn that Joe didn't, or whoever burnt it, didn't want them to discuss? Did anybody else see Alex just run in here?
No.
Oh my God. Hey, are you going?
He is
still
below camera line.
Can you guys say hi to everybody?
Hey. Hey, buddy.
Can you hear? Say hi. Hey, yeah. can you say lions and tigers and meth, oh my?
No. Not going to say that.
What'd you do upstairs with Daddy?
Mama.
What about Mama?
I Ghostbusters and Dada.
You watch Ghostbusters with Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were watching the Muppets. Yeah, look at the microphone. Are you ready for the Easter Bunny to come? Can you say hi? Okay, where did you come down here by yourself? Yeah. You came down the stairs all
my
by yourself?
Man. I'm my own man. I do what I want.
You came down the stairs by yourself? Okay. Where's does Daddy know you're downstairs? No.
Who cares about that guy?
Where's Daddy? Daddy watch Muppets. Oh, Daddy's watching the Muppets. Okay. Oh, no. We're not going to watch the TV down here. It's cassettes only behind us. No, we're not going to watch the videotape, but you can hang out and watch us on TV over here. No, thanks, dear.
Tracy's life. I respect that.
All right. Alex, you used to be on this show when you were a little itty-bitty baby.
We've got video.
We do. Mm-hmm. All right. Can you say bye-bye? You gonna go back up with Daddy? Okay. So yeah, this kind of just makes me wonder, like, what was lost then? Like, there had to have been some crazy shit that was lost.
Well, I mean, they've said that like that wasn't that it was much worse than what we saw.
Right, and it's like what?
I think like the animal mistreatment.
Yeah, stuff I think there's probably,
and even the human mistreatment. Like, right. He was such a dick to everyone that was basically working for him for free.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that whatever was lost was probably, like, criminal activity.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Things that one could get a longer jail time for if they weren't already incarcerated for shenanigans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This show is just so insane. Do you think Carol murdered her husband?
See, here's the thing is, like, when I was watching the docuseries, I was like, oh, 100%. But then, talking about it afterwards and, like, listening to that podcast that I listened to, I mean, I still have no idea. But it's true that they never present any shred of evidence that she did it.
Right. Right.
And they leave out some key information that, you know, it doesn't, like, exonerate her, but also just, like, gives a more rounded picture of what their marriage was like, what he was like. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of interesting that, like, you can just sort of, like, throw out this idea of, like, lock her up and everyone goes with it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And she's crazy. So, like, not, you know, she's not doing herself any favors because she's doing a lot of things that are not okay. Like, her sanctuary is bullshit.
Right.
And so that doesn't help her, but it also doesn't necessarily make her a murderer.
Right.
Right. Well, I heard that they reopened the investigation into the husband's death because his family has been calling for it for a while.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they kind of allude to that in the series. But yeah, I think it's another great example of, like, we should not think about this piece as a form of documentary journalism, because that is not how you tell a story. Like, they were telling that story for entertainment.
Absolutely. Value.
Like, if they were actually going to talk about the disappearance of Carol Baskin's second husband, it would have been more balanced and based more in fact. And this clearly, that just wasn't what this was. This was a story told for our sheer entertainment.
Well, and it's like, and like, we get swept up in this super misogynistic, like, really toxic world.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, like, that's also, it's not that, you know, the people behind the docuseries are saying that that's okay, because I think they're also criticizing it, but it's like, we sort of get swept up in this thing. And then that's almost like a, like, not a natural, but, like, it makes sense that that's sort of this byproduct of, like, then we like veer over into this, like, you know, super, like, misogynistic undertones with the one female character.
Yeah.
And everyone's ready to get on board with just, like, wanting to lock her up, which,
yeah,
again, feels very familiar. And yeah, it's, and this is, I think it's so easy to do because, again, like we were saying, she is, needless to say, a weirdo who, like, has her own, like, moralistic problems.
Right, right. She's not an innocent person here in general. She just
Mommy!
Yes, Alex. she just may or may not. She's gone up and down the stairs like 100 times now. He just may or may not be. She may or may not be responsible for her husband disappearing. Although my sister thinks that he was flying to Costa Rica once a month to smuggle drugs.
Well, apparently he had really shady business dealings in Costa Rica. This is what I heard on the other podcast. He had very shady business dealings that were going on. He had like girls down there who were like very young.
Right.
It was, you know, very.
He wasn't a good person.
Right. There was criminal activity around that too. He was not a good person. So yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
Randy's asking, how did Carol's first husband make that much money? It was actually her second husband.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think they, do they ever say?
So I don't think that they really do. But again, from that podcast, apparently he was in real estate. And then she, when she was married to her first husband, who was like super controlling and like would like look at the odometer when she would leave the house to like see how far she had gone, make sure she was only going to work and back. Anyway, that's apparently the time that she got into breeding cubs of like tigers and lions and stuff to make extra money. And that's how she got into that field, if you will, was when she was still with her first husband. So then when she was with her second husband, she kind of like brought the expertise of like how to breed cubs and make money off of that. And then he had his like real estate stuff. And apparently together, they just made a lot of money that like those two ways. And apparently like when things started to sour, they talk about this a little bit in the documentary, but it started to sour when she sort of realized that it's very problematic to breed cubs. And he was still interested in making money off of that. And so that sort of wedged, put a wedge between them. But apparently that's how the money was made, was a combination of those two things.
Right. So we are running long. So let me get into some of our feedback here. All right. Well, first, we're going to kick off with a voicemail from Maggie.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. It's Maggie. I'm calling in with some thoughts about Tiger King. Oh, my fucking God. That was ridiculous. All of those people need to be in jail. That was... It was great TV and totally insane. But I'm also like, why do you need to own a fucking tiger? No. No. It's not okay. It's not okay. And those poor animals. That's the whole thing. Those poor animals. I totally think Carol Baskin killed her second husband. I think it was her second husband. I think she totally killed him. I think a tiger ate him, for sure. Like, come on. I also think Joe burned down his studio to keep the reality TV show producer from owning him. And I think I also think that, you know, Jess and the other dude set Joe up. I'm not sure. I can't tell if that was the actual murder for hire was going to happen, the one he's in jail for. It's a hot freaking mess, and it all needs to stop, and I don't understand it. And the thing that made me the saddest was at the end when it said that there are more tigers living in captivity in the United States than there are in the wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By, like, 1,000 to 6,000. What the fuck? What the fuck is that? It was a very good watch, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. When I was not saying what the fuck, and
hold please, part two.
Hey, Brad, I got caught cut off. My phone actually died at the end of phone at that phone call where it cut off. I think I was done on Tiger King, and the only thing I just wanted to say is Little Fires Everywhere is really good. I've only watched the first two episodes. Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington are amazing together and just amazing. And I think the first episode was written by a woman and directed by a woman, and I think it's produced mainly by women, so it's really cool. I think the second episode may have been directed by a guy, but it's okay. It's still so good. So I would recommend the book. I read the book a few years ago. I didn't look at the book just to be sure I remembered what happened, right? Because I forgot one or two things. So it's a really good show if you guys get a chance to read the book. Okay, I'll talk to you ladies later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alex is back. I have the book. I found it at Target.
Ah.
And I ordered it for pickup. So, not only did I, you know,
Mommy.
Alex, it's time for you to go night-night, okay? I have the book, and I'm really excited to start to read it. This show has gone off. That's, here, you can have some of this. Alex likes LaCroix and Diet Dr. Pepper. Don't ask.
It's a good
solid.
Yeah. So thank you, Maggie. I'm definitely going to read that book. I don't think I'm going to have it finished before we record next because that's only like 3 days away. But hopefully within the next couple of weeks, I'll have it finished. So I'm looking forward to that. Franck said that the whole story of Carol's husband's disappearance could have been an entire season of In the Dark.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny and true.
Someone pitch it to them.
Yeah. They always end up like finding out the, you know, the information in the end. So,
yep, they're methodical and they know how to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have an email from Greg. Does anybody want to take this one?
Okay. So Greg writes in, "Hello, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I hope I snuck this in time. You did. I just want to share some thoughts on Tiger King. The show is bananas. Everyone sucks. But my God, it was so intriguing. The episode where they pull back the curtain on the reality of Joe's marriages is when my brain really broke. I think Joe was set up by Jeff, but it's not like Joe was totally innocent all around. Jeff is a creepy con man who appears to think he can't be touched. Hopefully something is inspired by this show to take him down. Carol is wild. She seems so calm about all her baggage. I listened to a podcast on Don Lewis, and at this point, I think of either his shady past caught up with him, or he purposefully set Carol up to get the inheritance and then disappeared to Costa Rica. I don't think she did it at this point. See?
Mm.
Yeah. Doc Antle is by far the worst of them to me. These people all ran cults in a way, but his was the worst to me. Grooming all those young girls and then bringing them up to be his wife. Disgusting. This isn't even mentioning the animal stuff he does. For
mm-hmm.
real.
Mm-hmm.
The jet ski guy is hilarious, and I hope he is well. LOL, just kidding. He belongs in jail too, I'm sure.
Wasn't the jet ski guy also the one that wore the wire? Terrible wire wearer.
Oh my God. Probably.
Who do you think is the worst person on the show and why? Thanks, Brads.
Well, I think we mentioned this. Definitely Doc Antle.
Oh, Doc Antle or Jeff Lowe. I mean, I think it's like, you know, they're neck and neck.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like we also, Jeff Lowe is introduced so late in the series. We don't get as much time with him being a terrible human. So like, oh. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot about him that is even worse than we know about that just doesn't make
I was going to say, he seems like a terrible, grifting piece of shit from the two episodes that we know him in. So
he may have joined the party late, but he went in strong.
Made an impact.
Yeah.
All right. And then finishing up, Randy said, just signed up for Netflix last night and currently binging Tiger King. I just finished episode 3, 4 hours later. Just finished the whole series. Although I understand an 8th episode is appearing on Sunday. It's an Easter miracle, everybody. You can't go to church, so you might as well watch a bunch of terrible human beings. And Seth.
Also, my friend Hillary, who recommended the Crime Junkie podcast, she wrote in about the episode they did on Carol Baskin, saying that podcast on Carol Baskin kind of changed my mind about her. The situation with her husband was a lot more messed up than they really showed. And apparently the meat grinder wasn't even on her property at the time. And that sewage system or whatever wasn't installed until years after her husband disappeared. It just sounds like the people who made the show left out a ton of facts and focused on Joe Exotic's wildest accusations without really vetting them. So interesting. And then she going on to talk about the relationship between Carol and her second husband. Apparently he also put his hands around her neck when she first got into the car with him when they met. It's creepy. Apparently he was also bipolar and hoarded things that she'd get rid of when he was gone. And if he always kept enough money on him to buy a plane, he could easily have disappeared. So one theory is that he Gone Girled her.
I hate that book, but I like that theory. I always need to say that I hate Gone Girl. I hate that book so much.
I actually never read it, but I understand the premise from context. No.
Yeah, you don't want to.
It's a perfect, it's whatever. It's a book I read. I wouldn't reread it, but it's
I would not reread it, and I did not even bother to see the movie.
Yeah, no.
So moving on, I guess we're officially ending our Tiger King talk for right now, but do you guys want to commit to watching the reunion special before we record next on Tuesday?
And I mean, I think we have to at this point.
I think we have to. Yeah, I need to know. I was probably going to watch it regardless of if we were going to talk about it.
Okay. Is this what they call a sunk cost? Or am I getting my terms wrong?
I've never heard
like,
that.
We're already this much in. We have like we can't not. Scott can tell me if I'm wrong.
or Matt can explain it to
it's
you.
It's like an economy thing. Anyway, we're already invested. We've already put this much time in.
I'm this far down the road. Might as well.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic.
Randy said that there's a 4-episode podcast called Cat People, which is about the big cat industry and covers many of the people in Tiger King. So I suppose if we want to do further research.
You can't get enough and want to learn a little more.
Yeah. And I know that there is a podcast from Wondery we've talked about. Mm-hmm. I think that they made it free too. It used to be like behind a paywall. I think. Mm. Don't quote me on
that. So apparently, because they talked about that on the crime podcast that I listened to, Crime Junkies. Apparently for the longest time it was totally free. And then like around the time that this docuseries came out, the like last half of it was put behind a paywall, and apparently the podcast community went apeshit.
They did.
But it was like I mean it was free for a really long time.
Yeah. I saw that because I went to download it and I saw that only a 2.5 stars, and then I saw it got like one star.
Yeah, a bunch of people one starred it.
And but I was like, well, the free market, you tried.
I mean, it was available to people for a very long time for free. And podcasts by definition are usually like it's like free content. You know, we pay for everything else. So I don't know. I think it's silly to complain.
I don't know. I see it both ways. I mean, you know, on the
podcasters
one hand,
gotta get paid.
Yeah, but if you have enough advertisement and you're about to get like a million downloads, then you know you might make up for that on the back end versus pissing a whole bunch of people off. I don't know. I could see it either way.
I think they said on the episode of Crime Junkie, they said that like it may have been a coincidence. They like weren't sure if that was like standard practice of that podcast. Like they leave it up for a while and then they put it. After enough time, they like put it behind a paywall, and it was sort of like serendipitous at the time. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, I think it's free now, so. all right, moving on. Molly Ann said, totally remember the April Fool's Day joke on MetroBuzz when Jay and Jack did the intro. I was convinced that I somehow downloaded the wrong file, so I deleted it and re-downloaded it from iTunes like 5 times before I caught on. That's amazing. Awesome. I feel like either you've told me this before or maybe somebody else told me this before because it sounded familiar, but yeah, love it. That was what we were hoping for. and I did ask Jay if he would re-record, if they would do something, and he was like, ugh. Ask me again on Monday. And then Monday came around and he was like, and I was like, hey, can I ask you that thing again? He was like, no. And I was like, all right. Quarantine time is weird. But we were also driving each other fucking nuts last week, by the end of last week. So it was one of those things, like, it was a good thing that like we had some like away time this week from each other.
Fair.
All is good now, though. I promise. Nothing was ever bad, but we're not driving so insane anymore. John says he also hates salad because I don't like salad and pretty much every vegetable. Dennis had the signed copies of the Wrinkle in Time book from his oldest son still at his house, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
All right. Let's finish the emails, then we'll do Mass What She Says, and then we'll peace out because we've got, 2 emails. We've got one from Mandy, an Andy update, and then we'll just switch it up a little bit tonight.
Great. Love it.
Okay. Who wants to do Mandy's? It's short.
Oh, man. It's short. I will. Oh, you want to take it? I was like, I was going to do it. It's nice and short.
I mean, it's up to you. I was just, because I already read one, so, like, you know. Go for it if you want.
Okay. Awkward silence.
Oh my gosh. In the time it took us to go back and forth, we could have read it.
It's okay. True.
Here we go. Here we go. Mandy says, new show recommendation. Zoe's Extraordinary Adventure! Exclamation point.
You know what? As a side note, I kind of feel like that's how Mandy's emails get read on Survivor with JJack and Colleen. Which, they're for so the record, is not your fault, Colleen.
I know. They're so mean to me.
Sorry, the joke is lost on me because I don't watch or listen. I'm sorry.
Well, I promise it was funny.
You think after 4 years of doing this that I would just start watching Survivor so I could participate in the conversation?
No, every time I try
Instead
to read,
just complaining about how I feel left out. Like, you think I would actively just start watching? Like, there's a simple solution that I can do to feel included.
It's a big time investment. I get it.
Every time, come on, Amanda, stop it. Like, get in on the game.
No, no, no. It's a time investment. Every time I try to read an email, especially one from Mandy on the Survivor JJC podcast, Janjack will interrupt me on purpose, like at the end of every sentence, and sometimes like halfway through a sentence. So like an email that might be four sentences long takes like legitimately 10 minutes to get through. And then at the end, they're always like, why does it take you so long to read these emails? And everyone can do that to me on purpose.
Not cool, guys.
Not cool. I got so did you listen this week's? I got so legitimately mad at them in the beginning.
I did listen to this week's.
like when I stab at them, I was like legitimately like annoyed, and my face was like red, and I was like, guys, come on. Mackie said they're awful to you about the emails. I know. But it's funny though.
I suppose it's a recurring shtick.
It is.
You know, everybody gotta have a gimmick.
Elena said there is legit tiger rescue outside of Raleigh. Should we plan an event in September?
Nope. Hard pass.
She also said that they're so hard on me all the time. I am a saint. I know. All right. Well, we've got an email from Andy, and then we'll do the mass what she says, and then we're going to get out of here.
All right. So this week in Andy's social distancing, Andy writes in, hey, broads, another week of this. I'm sure global pandemic is as good an excuse as any for lack of progress in my whole endeavor. It sure is. You're just being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things will be different when we're on the other side, and I wonder how dating will be changed as a result. Sure, there will be plenty of people out there looking for some kind of physical interaction after these past weeks and weeks to come. I've said before that I don't see myself having a one-night stand with a stranger and feel like it wouldn't be fair to her if she's just looking to have some fun. It seems especially so since we're all hungry for the human interaction we had. I can also see the opposite. We're certainly eager to hang out with friends and family again, but maybe this virus will make us gun-shy about meeting new people over potential comebacks COVID could make. Obviously, we're a ways before that happens, and the story getting a happy ending, is on hold indefinitely. At least you'll get more updates. Stay safe, everyone. # I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
Thank you for the update.
Thank you for the update.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, I do think that things are going to be different. And I can't imagine being in the dating world. But even, like, in the friend world, like, even people that you know, I don't think it's necessarily, like, a familiarity with them type thing. It's, like, anyone could be carrying the virus and you don't know. And so, like, what do you do? Do you hug your friends? Do you not?
Yeah.
No. Right. Right. Well, I think that's sort of to be seen what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. I still stick by what I said last week, in which I feel like 2 years from now, we're all going to have forgotten about it and go back to normal with maybe not shaking hands. Like, I think people have short memories.
I thought that way, but I think I'm starting to change my thinking. The longer this goes on, I think the more I am inclined to change my thinking. Because yes, I believe like humans and maybe Americans specifically do have a very short attention span and a short memory. But, you know, this is very severe. And I think I would hope I can't see how society is not going to be a little different.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree that I'm still like hesitant to believe that this will bring about the big kind of changes that we need. Mm-hmm. And I also don't necessarily, I'm not super optimistic that we will collectively like glean the lessons that we're supposed to be learning from this. However, I do think it will fundamentally change society. And like, I remember reading something about how like even after 10 days of confinement, like people have like exhibit like PTSD symptoms. So mm-hmm. 10 days, you know, we're on the third week, starting the fourth week. Like,
yeah, I'm entering my fifth week.
Yeah. This will be week five. Yeah, that's right. You started early.
Yeah, this will be week five for me.
Yeah. So I think there are going to be repercussions. And like, there's also been like a lot of things going around online about like comparisons to the Great Depression and like, okay, so that like lasts longer, but we will be in another depression. So there's that. Right. But just, it's true that like people of that generation have certain behaviors that sort of like lasted for the rest of their lives mm-hmm. that we don't really understand because we didn't live through that. And I think that this might mark us in a similar way.
Yep. That's actually, it's funny you bring that up. That's, I was talking about that with my therapist this week and how, you know, the generation that grew up during the Depression never got over it. And they would just hide money places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like, yeah. What is that going to look like for us? That like, we're just going to be very like phobic of germs, that like we're just going to be very like ritualistic about hand washing. Like what is that going to, of like touching each other, what is that going to mm-hmm. going to look like? Because it will look like something. It will, like, we will be affected in some way. And I think that's just, it like kind of sucker punches me in the stomach, because it's like, that's true.
Greg said, I already have a friend yelling, "Let's get America back to work. Talk about a short-term memory." I honestly keep hearing all these years that Americans were lazy people that didn't want to work. All of a sudden, everybody wants to get back to work. I'm so confused.
Yeah. No, and Greg, I totally get that, but I'm assuming that this friend is a Floridian. Sorry, no offense.
Florida man says, "Let's get America back to work." Desiree said, "A local doctor said that you should assume everyone has COVID unless proven otherwise. Best advice ever."
Yeah. Yeah. That's legit.
Yep.
Because the damn well could. And like, that's. Yeah.
And Elena, with a really nice picture of you, by the way, said, "I agree we should assume that we all have it. If we can get tested, we can't trust the results, nor can we be sure we don't get it while waiting for the results." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually an interesting point. Because they say that, what, 1 in 3 tests have false negatives. And that Broadway star who is in the ventilator right now, the one with the young baby, with the 10-month-old.
Gosh, I have no idea. I didn't hear the story at all.
Yeah, he's really sick. He's been sick since the beginning of March, and they misdiagnosed it as pneumonia. He tested negative for COVID 3 times, even though he had all the symptoms, and the doctors kept treating him as such. And on the third COVID test, they finally like tested positive.
Oh my god.
Oh. Yeah,
so Frank says, and we'll finish it with this. Frank says, "No, I still want to kiss people in France."
Yeah.
I'll let you guys work.
That's a social custom that will be it's very ingrained.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Also, my apologies, Des, for joking about Floridians.
Oh, she lives in Florida, but she's not from Florida.
Well, it's a shitty thing to say. My bad. And it's not even, Greg's friend wasn't even a Floridian. It was a Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, the Florida of the Northeast. It kind of is, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, like not Philadelphia, but like the rest of the state.
Yeah. Well, that's legit.
Pennsylvania, anytime I ever had to drive through it, it has this weird vibe. I'm sorry if you live in Pennsylvania, but I've always been like it just is like has this weird like vibe to me, Pennsylvania. I don't know. Like
It's also just because it's so massive. It's like if you drive across Pennsylvania, that is several hours of your life. Like, you still feel, you feel like you should be in West Pennsylvania.
It's worse than Virginia.
Yeah, you're still driving.
It's a long state. All right. On that note, everybody, I think it is time to wrap this up. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We really, really appreciate it. We will be back for our regularly scheduled episode. Randy said, I'm in Central PA right now. There is your proof, piss off everyone, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. We're just, you know, we're just trying to make our way through all the states. We just want to offend everybody tonight.
Desiree said Pennsylvania did have a weird vibe when I drove through it. It was terrible. See? There you go. Anyway, all right, sorry. It's time to get out of here. Thank you all for being here with us tonight. We do appreciate it. I'm sorry about all the children interruptions, the 2-year-old interruptions.
Loved it. It's good to check on my friends, make sure they're doing okay.
2 years ago, he was on this show drinking breast milk. Now he's on the show drinking LaCroix. It's crazy.
Oh, we didn't do math. What she said.
Oh crap!
Oh no, we're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to double it up on Tuesday. I forgot.
That's fair. Game night is a happening. We gotta.
I'm sorry.
Get people out. People have other engagements.
I know. I'm sorry. I thought I could do it out of order, and apparently I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah. Out
of order. It's fair.
But we'll double it up. We'll do a twofer on. Two for
Tuesday.
Which
is also what she said.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just, you know, adding more things.
Yeah.
More fuel.
It'll be a throuple.
Yeah. It'll be a throuple.
A throuple? Is it a throuple? Throuple.
Really, potato, potato.
Yeah.
Throuple,
yeah.
Throuple.
You make your portmanteau however you want. Mm-hmm. Or is it portmanteau? It's more like a blend.
I don't know. Those were words you said. I'm not certain. I completely understood all of them.
All right. On that note, everybody, thank you for being here. Thank you to the patrons. We appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, patreon.com/jjack. Thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level. And that'd be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Drake the Distributor, Greg. Well, I switch it up. Jay is now joined. All three of my boys have been in the studio now giving their opinions tonight. And Greg the Gray. Thank you guys very much. I don't know. Whatever else.
If you'd like to become a patron.
I did that first.
Oh, you did that. I'm sorry. Amazon? Did you do Amazon?
I'm doing Amazon now. If you'd like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. And honestly, how else are you going to shop? A PSA, though. They have little fires everywhere at Target. So,
oh, God, I wish I could get to a Target.
You can order and have it delivered. Just wipe down everything outside before you bring it in.
That's but the physical act of being in a Target is really enjoyable.
That's true. That's true. Well, I had to get milk the other day, which is why everybody has been eating like 15 bowls of cereal a day now. So usually it was like one, you know, quart of milk lasted a whole week. And then we were done by Wednesday. And I was like, oh, my God, how do we need more milk already? So I had to go run out to Target because we need milk. It's an essential item in this household. And that is where I was like, well, let me just look online and see if they have the Little Fires Everywhere book. And they did. And I got a twofer.
Way to make that Target run totally worth it.
Yeah,
you know,
you did good.
Yeah,
part essential, part not, but cool.
If you're gonna be there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry. Yeah, all right, everybody, whatever else we do, cool, we will talk to you next week. Thanks again. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Remember, the limit does not exist.
Bye. Thank you for watching. Being here.
Bye.